our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, we thank you for your Son, who chose the path of suffering for the sake of the world. Humble us by his example. Point us to the path of obedience, and give us strength to follow his commands. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us be seated as we listen to the word.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah, the 15th chapter. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words are found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy, and the delight of my heart, and I am called by your name, O Lord of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice under the weight of your hand. I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wounds incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like a waterfall that fail. Therefore, says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you will stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. If it is they who will turn against, will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to these people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hands of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 26 responsefully. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the God, the Lord, without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try and test my heart and mind. For you are steadfast, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to you.
I do not sit with the worthless, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I make the company of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked.
I wash my hands in innocence, and go around to your altar, O Lord. I sing aloud a song of thanksgiving, and telling of your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love your
house,
where your glory abides. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 12th chapter. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to the stranger. Blessed are those who persecute. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought in what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. the word of the Lord. The reading from the Holy Gospel is according to Matthew in the 16th chapter. From that time on, after Peter's confession, we heard that story last Sunday, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And on the third day, be raised. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." And Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Right, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? What will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see Son of Man coming in his kingdom." That's the gospel of the Lord. The big gamble. Is it on? Ah! It's not a gamble. It was a gamble in the first period, first service. One of the late in my life journey, my relationship with Karen has become, for me, on one level, the most stable and secure and life-giving experiences. At the same time, it's filled with the unexpected and surprises and what's going to come next. And early this week, Karen said to me, well, I'm glad she said it early this week, not late this week. Karen says to me, "You're not doing anything else this coming Sunday, and I've got a women's retreat to get ready for on Monday, which is a big, big task, and I just note, will you preach on Sunday? You're not doing anything else." Thank you, dear wife Karen, for that little surprise. Life-giving, stable, secure, full of the unexpected, full of the surprises. You know, it's a vibrant, exciting. On one level. On another level, On another level, there's another relationship in my life which is even more stable, more secure, and more filled with the unexpected, with its ups and its downs, and it's kind of like week by week, what's next? And that's the relationship that you and I have, and I have, with our God. And our God is as real as Karen is, as you are, as I am. In fact, he's more real. Anyway, earlier this week, as I started to dialogue, I guess you call it, pray and work and dialogue with God about this Word of God that the Church has given us to reflect on this Sunday, I found myself saying, well, Peter, you make the most sense, not Jesus. Jesus is talking about, you know, if I'm going to be faithful to my God and I'm going to be faithful to my mission from God, you know where that's going to lead. It's going to lead us to the heart of our religion, and when we get there in Jerusalem, it's going to lead to our rejection, not by the sinners and the outcasts, but it's going to lead to the rejection by all the good and the holy people, the religious leaders, the scribes, the teachers, the elders. They're all going to reject me, and they're going to kill me. That's what Jesus started talking about. And the voice of Peter was the voice that made sense to me. Peter takes Jesus aside and says, come on, Lord. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a different way. There's got to be a way for you to be faithful to your calling and your mission from God without getting crucified. And Jesus turns on him. Jesus turns on him and says, you know, he must have touched a nerve with Jesus. It must have been something Jesus was kind of concerned about and worried about and prone to, you know. And he says to Peter, don't talk that way. Get behind me. You're the voice of Satan. You're the voice of the devil talking that way to me. You're trying to steer me away from, choose the path of security and safety and peace and quiet instead of being faithful. And I said to myself, Peter, you make sense. Jesus sure doesn't. This morning, this group of Christians, St. Peter's by the Sea, has welcomed into full and active membership in this group of Christian disciples. New members. And we've renewed our own membership into this community of the followers of Christ. Well, I don't know about you, but that's kind of dangerous and risky business to get into. Jesus went right on and said, after he turned on Peter, he said, you know, if anyone wants to follow me, wants to be my disciple, he says, you've got to take up your cross and follow me. If you want safety and security and you want the good life, you're going to lose it. Only if you're ready to let go, surrender your life, give up your life for my sake, will you be alive. Otherwise, you may gain the whole world, but lose yourself, lose your own life. What are you willing to pay for your own life? He didn't lay out a nice, easy way. You know, to be baptized, to be a member of a church, a Christian body, it's always been kind of an experience for me of being part, a nice guy in a group of nice people who, you know, treat each other nicely most of the time, and, just generally easy people. It's a safe place to be. It's a safe community to be part of. And we want to do that for our own salvation, our own life, our own security. I want to be baptized and part of the church so that I can be saved. You know, that's really missing the boat for you and I. There's all kinds of people going to be saved who never got to be part of the church. Never will and never... That's not the call of baptism. That's not the call of being a follower of Christ. That's not the call of being part of the disciples of Christ. It's not for us that we're baptized. It's not for us that we're part of the church. It's for the rest of the world. You know, I never handle anger very well. It's, again, part of being a nice guy in a nice church, you know, and a nice group of people. I never handled anger very well. When I got to reading Jeremiah, that first passage for today, I encountered a fella, first of all, who lament is a mild word for it. It's rage and anger against God. Rage and anger against God. That's what Jeremiah was saying. How did they put it? You know, God, I found your words, I ate them, and they became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. And a couple lines later, but why then is my pain so unceasing, my wound so incurable? Why does it refuse to be healed? You're like, to me, like a deceitful brook. Waters that fail, that's what you're like. It ain't right, God. Why do you treat me that way? That's Peter saying to Jesus, God isn't going to treat you that way, Jesus. God isn't going to treat any of us that way. And that's the anger I felt. And it's pretty safe. I'm much more safe with God than I am with you in anger. But it's not nice, safe, pleasant, secure. It's a relationship with God and a mission from God that's full of risk and danger and fire and crucial stuff. Very crucial stuff. You know, we are in the middle, there's no question about it, we are in the midst of a terrible war. It's a war for the hearts and the minds of the human race. It's a war for the life of the world. It's a war to keep us from destroying ourselves. The war for the salvation of the world. No question about it. The question is, what are the weapons? Where's your arsenal? How do you fight this war? Are you willing to give your life for it? Paul outlined some of those the weapons, and they're strange weapons to us. What does he say? He says, here's the weapons you got to work with. You love one another with mutual affection. Rejoice in hope in the midst of discouragement and despair in the world. You're patient in your suffering. You persevere in your prayer. That's the weapons. He goes on, there's more. You bless, and here's where it really gets strange weapon. You bless those who persecute you. You don't curse them. You don't repay evil for evil. You don't avenge yourself. Your enemies are hungry, you feed them. Your enemies are thirsty, you give them something to drink. Don't be overcome by them. Strange arsenal. The whole arsenal, the weapons that come to you.